What is up, my outrageous outlaws? It's Chris with Tabletops and Tentacles, and this is Die Alone, a solo RPG and board game podcast. In this episode of Die Alone, we're going to be checking out Flip Town, a Wild West flip and write game, in the first of two Western-themed episodes of Die Alone. What is up, everyone? So this episode of Die Alone is focused pretty succinctly on Flip Town, a Wild West flip and write game that I got from a Kickstarter reward. And this is a small box game where you're playing an outlaw. Well, you're not really playing an outlaw. You're playing a denizen of the desert, and you're making your way in the Wild West. I really dig this game. We'll get into it in a minute. Before we dive into Flip Town, let's do a little state of the dungeon. I've been pretty much just slammed on trying to get my projects finished up or tightened up or shipped or finished in some capacity. I'm doing final edits on the text for Krampus right now. I'm right in the middle of shipping Attack from Space. Tombpunk's Pledge Manager is open for late pledges if you missed out on that one. And I'm prepping the design work for Crime Fighting Luchadors with Martin, and I'm pretty stoked about all of those. But I've also not been paying a lot of attention to Kickstarter as a result. I did back Astro Prisma, which only has 60 hours left. By the time this launches, it'll be into its final day probably, and it's been killing it. It made over $250,000, but it's a retro future sci-fi game that looks really killer. And if you haven't checked it out, I'll throw a link below. I assume the late pledge will be open for it fairly soon. Other than that, I am just sort of continuing to plug away at the stuff I'm working on and calling that good. So let's go ahead and dive into Flip Town, a Wild West flip and write game. Flip Town was designed by Stephen Aramini and the art is from Naomi Ferral, and I love the aesthetic on this. The entire thing is done in a very sort of illustrator style with varying shades of a sepia, orangey, brown color, and that design aesthetic carries through the entire game from the deck of cards it comes with to the cards, to the board, to the box itself, and everything in it just looks so nicely thematic for a Western-themed game. In Flip Town, you play sort of an unnamed Western character that is trying to earn your fortune in the Wild West, and so you can play up to four players in Flip Town, and I have only played it solo so far, and I'm very happy with the solo mode on this. It's something where the addition of players would tweak the gameplay a little bit, but largely you're controlling your own character and your own actions on your own board. So the non-solo aspects of it don't have as much of an impact on it as a lot of other board games that are theoretically solo-focused. So in Flip Town, each of you has a fourfold little board that has a number of different activities that you can do on it, and you each get a little chunky, silly, write-on, wipe-off marker. Not a huge fan of the markers that it comes with. It's the same cheap ones that you get with every single game with the little eraser on the end, and the fine tip is never quite fine enough for what you need for a game like this. It feels like you're using a fatty, fat, fat crayon or something. I haven't tried it with a wet erase marker. I imagine it would probably do okay with that. But I'm already sort of planning on some tweaks to the system and how I play this game because I really enjoyed it. There's a few negligible negatives that I wouldn't mind tweaking a little bit. One of the things I really like about this is that essentially all you need to play is the player's board and a deck of cards. And the only reason that the box is as large as it is, and it is not large, it is, it's only like 5x8x2 or something like that. So it's a fairly petite box already. And the only reason it's as large as it is because there's four of these fourfold player cards in it. And each of those is like a solid, maybe 2/3 of an inch thick when it's folded up, and so it's taking up a little bit of extra room with it. I love the compact size of it. This is absolutely one of those things where you could just grab a deck of cards and the one board and take with you on a plane or on a trip somewhere. If I was still doing conventions regularly, this is absolutely one of the ones that would be in my hotel bag that I would bring with me to play in the hotel room. I need to apologize in advance if you hear any strange, I don't know, zoo noises coming from this episode of the podcast. We have new-ish puppies, and my dogs are all fairly rambunctious tonight as I'm recording this, so if you hear squeaking or balls or water dishes or growling, that's just ambiance for this Western-themed episode. So one of the things I like about this game is that it only takes about 30 minutes, and setup is minutes. You shuffle the deck of cards and lay your deck out and circle like one thing. So this is sort of open world in that you are deciding how to play your character, and you can kind of go anywhere you want on the board depending on what your hand ends up like, but it is just scoring against yourself for points. It has a little legend on the back so that you can score your character based off of how many points you get, and you can become a pioneering deputy or something like that, but it's mostly just a fun little logic-y roll and write type game. So this game takes place over three rounds with five turns in each round, and each turn you flip over three cards from your deck, and these cards get assigned depending on which region of the board you want to go to. So there's a number of different resources you track as you play the game. There's cash, gold, stars, and wanted ratings. Cash and gold is primarily used to pay for things and to sort of like pay off things. And stars is sort of the real currency of the game as far as rating your performance at the end. Your wanted rating tracks how much of a desperado you are as you're playing, and what you're going to have to do if you get caught by the sheriff. So it has some really like simple tracking techniques, and you just circle the boxes to track them. If you sell something, you circle a couple of extra pieces of cash, or if you lose some money, you cross it off or wipe it away. So after you draw three cards from your deck for your hand, you assign one of them to a region, and each of the different regions you can do something are based off of the suit on the card. Then you take one of them based off of the number or face on the card, and that dictates what you do in that region for the turn. And then the last card you assign to your poker hand. So as you play these five turns each round, you create a five-handed poker hand that you play. And you can score different points depending on how you end up with that. And it's a really interesting technique because it actually does have some pretty large values to it. But if you focus exclusively on your poker hand, your activities in the rest of the West get a little more restrictive and difficult as you're playing, and I think that's a really neat little tweak to it, and it's very thematic to be forming a poker hand as you're playing. One of the most involved suits is the club, which is the town section of the game. And that one's sort of a fun one because there's a whole pile of different things you can do depending on what card you have. You can go to the land office and buy property, or you can go to the general store and pay for things like bandanas and gold pans. You can go to the bank and get loans. You can pay off your bounty at the sheriff's office. And there's a whole number of different things you can do. You you can spend the night at the hotel and get extra badges and things. And it's kind of a neat one because there's typically something useful to do there, even if your hand isn't great for the other three options on the board. Beyond that, we've got the trail, which is the heart suit, and that one's fairly straightforward. You just put down whatever number your card is, and you travel that far along the trail, and you get whatever little reward it shows underneath that card. The real trick with that is that there's a couple of really interesting ones along the trail that once you're past them, you can't access them. You can buy a horse in town to help your travels on that particular one. You can go to the Badlands if you have a spade suit card, and the Badlands allow you to steal chickens or cows or rob stagecoaches or trains. And obviously, all of these activities increase your wanted rating pretty significantly, but it does give you some pretty high star and cash reserves as well. You also get an extra turn if you rob all three of the stagecoach ratings. You'd get to do an extra town action. You can also increase or decrease different rewards depending on whether you've bought the bandana or the pistol or the rifle in town. Mining is the diamonds, of course, as it should be. And the mine is sort of a flowchart that you do. Depending on what cards you play, it takes you down a different route on it, and you get different rewards. You can pan for gold, or you can end up with extra actions, or like a combination of them, depending on what you choose to play. And there's actually some pretty significant rewards if you make it all the way to the lower levels of the mine, but there's a lot of dedication to getting there on it that I thought was kind of cool. One of the games I played, I focused on the mine specifically, and it ended up being one of my higher rated games, but it wasn't quite as fun, which is also thematic that you could focus on mining and not have as much fun as being an outlaw. But it's a nice little extra, and it's very thematic and fits. And then finally, if you don't want to play any of those four, you can also do any suit and value card and go to the cemetery and dig up corpses, which is great. One of the fun things about that is that you get higher wanted ratings if you're digging up corpses, obviously, but as you dig into the cemetery, you sort of create little in-between sections that get you rewards for it that kind of lets you be strategic about where you're stealing corpses from. And then, of course, for the last card, you assign it to the poker card, like I mentioned before. And at the end of your five turns, you will have done five things across the board and created a hand for your poker hand. And depending on what you have for that, like if you only have a single pair, you get $2 and a single star, all the way up to a royal flush that gets you $10 and 9 stars. I think you'd have to be incredibly lucky or really focused on the poker end of things to get that, considering you're really only drawing 15 cards out. And making a solid poker hand on top of still being functional through your day-to-day life here in Flip Town would be pretty tricky and interesting. At the end of the round, you resolve your poker hand. There's another little section on the board that lets you circle gold pans and hammers, and basically that's you doing like odd jobs and panning for gold in your spare time, and those can get you some loot at the end of the round. And then the sheriff tries to arrest you. And the more wanted you have, the more likely it is that the sheriff will arrest you. And to resolve it, you decide if you want to bribe the sheriff ahead of time. For that, you have to pay a gold for every wanted you have circled in your inventory, and then you can just ignore the sheriff card entirely. Yeah, so the sheriff card is a card that you've set down at the beginning of your round face down. And it comes into play during this phase where, depending on what your wanted level is, when you turn over the sheriff card, it determines whether you have avoided arrest or if you were arrested. If you were arrested, you have to pay either in stars or cash to get out of jail. The wanted rating is sort of an interesting thing because it does come into play at the end there, and it can make a pretty big difference. I didn't find myself that personally involved in the wanted aspect of it because I wasn't competing against somebody. I was just playing for the enjoyment of the game, and even the points are kind of eh. That's just not kind of how I focus when I play these kind of games. I didn't find as much interest in the wanted ratings as I would have had I been playing with other people, more than likely, but it was still pretty. It's a fun little thing at the end where it sort of makes a difference on how dastardly you've been during your round. And you play that round 3 times, and by the end of those 3 times, you are at the end of the game. And essentially, you tally your points and see where you land with it. It's really simple, it's straightforward, and I really dig this game. Like, to the point that I've never really dove too deep into rolling rights or flipping rights or whatever all of the different rights are. But it's something that I would like to get more into. I have Hadrian's Wall here, and I haven't even I've opened it 3 times and put everything out and then become overwhelmed and not played it because it has like 700,000 different things on papers. And I've heard it's pretty straightforward, but it became pretty overwhelming for me initially. So I need to dive into them more. I know a lot of them are a lot simpler than that. I know I've backed a number of print and play flip and rolls and roll and writes and stuff, and I need to just get into those and give them a go because this was more akin to solitaire for me, and I like that type of game sometimes. It's sort of that turn your brain off and just enjoy a little puzzle for a half hour, and this really fits that aspect of it. I think their ability to keep it thematic while it was being played as well was really impressive too. They do have Cowbots, which is an emphasis for solo play, and they are different cards that you can play down at the beginning of your game that influences how different scores are being affected, and they're basically opponents that you're playing against, and depending on what you lay out, they can take things or affect what you're able to do with the cards in your hand and that kind of thing. They can steal cards from your hand. And it's sort of a neat little extra tweak to it. I played it with the Cowbot 5 or 6 times, and I did enjoy them. It seemed like it was one more aspect of bookkeeping than anything, though, and so it didn't necessarily improve the play for me. It just added a little bit of another layer of complexity, so it depends on what you're looking for with that. I've played it about half and half right now, and I don't know if there's a way I prefer. My only real complaint about the game is that the font on the player board, the text, the typeface, it's very readable if it was 3 to 4 times larger than it is. Everything is so tiny that I literally have to pull my glasses down to the tip of my nose like an old man about every turn to try and read what it is I can do on some of these spaces. And I get it. I like that it's compact and it's efficient in that respect. But if this entire board was twice the size, I would have so much more fun playing it because I wouldn't have to squint like an old man every time. And I do think part of that's just that my eyes are starting to get crappier and you know, that end of things. But the typeface is very tiny on a lot of these, to the point that it's hard to read a few of them. So I'm thinking about taking it and scanning it in and literally just blowing up each one to, like, not even that much bigger, just like a half sheet of paper size for each panel. And then I could just draw on it with a smaller pen as well. The write-on wipe-off markers a little obnoxious how thick it is at times, because of how petite and crunched everything is on the board. So I think if I had a pencil and some bigger pieces of paper, I could actually play this in a more effective manner. Honestly, this would be a killer print and play game, except the art and graphic design is so good in this. The deck of cards is fantastic. It's all very thematic. The art on all of the face cards is really nice looking. It's got a great Wild West flair to it, but it still fits the artistic design of the game itself. In short, which isn't short because I've been talking for quite a while about this game, I really recommend Fliptown. I think it's really genuinely fun. So over on their website at rightstuffgames.com, they actually have a link over to a print and play version of this that's $5, or you can buy the actual version of the game for $25. There's also a mini expansion, which I got with this, and I'm honestly looking at it, not 100% sure I ever played with it, honestly. I'm not sure if I integrated it and forgot about it, or if it's something that I set aside and just never actually played with. They also have a solo campaign called The Lone Gun coming soon on the page, which I didn't know about until I clicked over to just now. But it says that you embark on a solo journey that takes you through 12 exciting chapters, each with its own law of the land, a unique rule just for that chapter, and aim of the game, which is a unique win condition for that chapter. Really dig that. It has a simple save system. It has some choices of special items that evolve your character as you play. So I'm stoked for that. I have no idea when that's coming, but I would very much like to find out. And, you know, if they want somebody to play test that or talk about it, give me a holler, Fliptown. But you can get the game for $25 on their website. It's very reasonably priced. Honestly, I've paid that much for just a deck of cards before, and the deck of cards that this comes with is going to get played in some of my other solo tabletop role-playing games that use card decks, because it's very thematic and I dig it. But yeah, you can go over and check it out. You can get the print and play at Print and Play Arcade for $5, and I 100% recommend picking it up for that. Like, that's a no-brainer. It's so worth it. So yeah, that was Fliptown, a Wild West flippin' right game from Right Stuff Games. And coming up next week, we're going to be taking a look at another Western game, because I thought it'd be kind of fun to do two in a row that were thematic. This one's a little bigger box. We're going to be playing Bantam West from Bantam Planet. And make sure you come back around to listen to that one. In the meantime, thank you so much for listening. If you'd like to support the podcast, you can join our Patreon. Patrons get virtually nothing except for supporting the channel and making it possible for me to do this. And I appreciate those of you that do join the Patreon and support it so much, because it does make a massive difference to me, even though I really just use it as a support structure. I also do have a couple of games that are coming out soon-ish. The Pledge Manager for Tomb Punk, which is a game I did the art and design with Alan Barr, that I think turned out amazing. The Pledge Manager for that is live now, and I'll leave links to that in the notes here. And a second edition of 3D6, which is my creepy crawler dungeon crawl game, is coming out this summer as well, and the preview page for that is live on Kickstarter, so you can click on it and be reminded when that comes up. Really excited about that. It's probably the game I'm most proud of that I've created. It's got a whole collection of tools for solo play. It has two separate, like, choose your own adventure style game book solo adventures in it, and this Kickstarter is going to be a second edition of the book, an expansion that expands the world of the Shimmer, which is where your characters live and breathe and die, and releasing those solo adventures in their own, like, dedicated offset print runs. And I'm really stoked about it. I'd love it if you checked it out and hit follow so that we can have a good, successful run on that when it launches. Beyond that, keep playing. Thank you for listening. And remember, we all die alone.